Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here today, and we have a very broad spectrum subject. Most of you have been touched by it or know someone who has been touched by it. But before I describe the subject, I just want to say, you know, every time I hear that little voice at the beginning of our introduction, I'm busy thinking because I'm ready to start the show and I'm thinking and I'm focused and I hear that little voice. And it brings such a smile to my face. So I just want you to know that every time I start this show, I have this giant smile on my face. So I'm here. I'm Corrine Frenari with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
Have you noticed? I couldn't help it. I've wanted to say this for a while. I just love that little
voice.
Might
as well to say, yep, you do.
I know.
So, his voice has changed now, though.
Oh, my goodness. It's this deep baritone voice, and so has the look. Quite a big change. So let's go into our topic. I know we're all going to be interested. I know you're all going to want to call and ask. This is an important subject. I see many, many people with this problem. And most of the times, the majority of times, it has been undiagnosed. So we're going to discuss how to look at this as a problem and how to understand how it can be missed so often. And then we're going to discuss how to go about treating it or supporting it. And we're talking about hypothyroid. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 10 men have hypothyroid and or subclinical hypothyroid. 38 million people have been diagnosed with this problem, which has more than doubled since 2009. But we also have untreated hypothyroid, 12 to 20% of those. And we also have the fact that many people don't really understand or haven't been diagnosed with hypothyroid. Now, what's going on here? Let's talk a little bit about the symptoms, and then I'll pass it to you, Carol. Do you feel fatigued? Do you feel sluggish? Do you feel poor? Do you see poor quality of your hair? Do you have hair loss? Do you have loss of hair on the outer third of your eyebrows? Are you cold all the time and heat sensitive? So you're either cold or you're just too hot. Always a little bit uncomfortable. Do you have dry, kind of scaly skin or just dry skin? Low libido. A little bit depressed and or a little bit constipated, muscle and joint pains, trouble losing weight no matter what you do, irregular menses, PCOS, and irritable bowel syndrome. If you suffer from any of the above, you can be suffering from hypothyroid disease, and this can result from a reduced production of thyroid hormone, reduced conversion of thyroid hormones to make the hormones active, an autoimmune disease, just straight inflammation, or nutrient deficient hypothyroid, and heavy metal toxicity. So I'm going to pass it to you, Carol. Do you think I set it up?
Oh, I think you said it all.
Oh, okay, so it's over. I'm going to ask people to call in with their questions. The number to call is 212-209-2923. 877-212-209-2877. We really want to hear from you because we know a lot of people are suffering. They're undiagnosed and they have been diagnosed, but they're being often treated with the wrong hormone. Carol, I'm passing it to you.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to introduce the name of Dr. Broda Barnes, who studied thyroid for over 30 years. And he wrote an amazing book called Hypothyroidism, The Unsuspected Illness. And throughout my whole life, there have been a couple authors, books, writers, investigators that really like shattered my worldview or made me open my eyes. And I can't say enough about this book. I remember just being gobsmacked reading it for the first time many, many, many years ago. Dr. Broda Barnes was a person who did the testing for a low thyroid was called doing a basal metabolic rate. And that actually involved, I believe it involved dunking people in water and seeing if their body would change the temperature of water. Very complicated tests, but it was a measure of our metabolic system. Our thyroid hormone has two jobs to do, and it's particularly in the mitochondria that it is the spark plug for a mitochondrial energy ATP production. So when fatigue is part of the picture, a slowdown of ATP is probably going on too. But the other thing is it's responsible for maintaining our body temperature. This is kind of interesting because I remember Dennis Wilson, who also wrote a book on thyroid, talking about if you've ever had any basic biochemistry, chemistry classes, you know that chemical reactions are affected by temperature and pressure. These two variables will change the rate. And he says, you know, it's no wonder that we're supposed to be 98.6 because this is a temperature that is the perfect temperature for all our biochemical processes in our body. When we deviate, we pay attention to when that temperature gets a little higher, we get all concerned. It's a sign of sickness when our metabolic rate goes up and our temperature goes up. We're trying to fight something off. But equally important, and maybe even more important, is when our temperature drops below 98.6. And I can't tell you, I want you to jump in, Corinne, clinically, how much I've seen these really, really low temperatures. People are going to their doctors, they're going to their endocrinologist, and they're in the doctor's office, their temperature is 95 point something, and they don't pay any attention.
And more than that, they don't feel well. They just not, maybe they're being treated, maybe they're not, but they don't feel themselves. They don't feel well. They don't feel energetic. They don't have libido. They feel a little confused and with a brain fog. And what we're dealing with is the fact that they are not being correctly or adequately treated. They're being treated like they have a thyroid problem, which is not really only, yes, the thyroid problem is the symptom, but what we're dealing with in a majority of the cases are nutritional deficiencies. So if we just keep on giving a low-level inactive thyroid to patients, or in many cases it's inflammation, or it's autoimmune disease, and here the thyroid is being attacked like it's foreign tissue, and the body is literally making holes in the thyroid, and we're giving more thyroid hormone, we're just making the problem worse. And yet none of those other causes have been explored. You just go in, your thyroid might be a little low. You're given T4, which very interestingly is the weakest form of thyroid hormone. And the body then, in a healthy body, with a converts T4 to T3. It does that in the liver. 70% of the conversion takes place in the liver, 20% in the gut. And we know that the gut has microbiome problems and can be inflamed. We know that the liver isn't optimally functioning. So what's happening is the conversion to an active T3 hormone isn't really taking place. Carol, I'm just going to give out the number again because I know people want to join this conversation. Okay. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. And I'm going to say one more thing. Whenever I see an autoimmune disease, there's almost always there's a thyroid component there. Because autoimmune diseases come in clusters very often. It's not just one organ that's being affected. And very often the thyroid is a large part of the symptoms of that disease. Go on, Carol.
Well, and in the case of that, I've heard like maybe 60% of the population has Hashimoto's. And to understand that, you have to measure antibodies. Yet very few practitioners measure antibodies for their patients. And why don't they? Because they don't know what to do with it when they do get those numbers. So you have to deal with the inflammation. Well, this inflammation is coming from a disordered gut. So the endocrinologist should be really working with the gut to improve the thyroid situation. But I guess it's not in their dominion. So they ignore it. And it's totally fixable, reversible, yet conventional medicine would make us helpless against this kind of situation. I wanted to also hearken back to Dr. Barnes, and as he was looking at evaluating thyroid, he said one of the best tests for hypothyroidism is cholesterol, total cholesterol. And why would that be? Well, this is very interesting because cholesterol has to turn into pregnenolone, the next hormone. In order to do that, you have to have active vitamin A to make that conversion. Now, you can get some active vitamin A in supplements and in meat sources or fish or cod liver is a good source. But for the most part, a lot of us get vitamin A from beta carotene in plant sources. So our body still has to convert that beta carotene into vitamin A to do the next transformation. And that's exactly where we need active thyroid hormone to convert to vitamin A. So then from cholesterol, you can go to pregnenolone and the sex hormones and the adrenal hormones and bile and vitamin D. So if you get stuck there, not having enough active vitamin A because you don't have enough thyroid, then your cholesterol is going to naturally rise. So what do? We entirely
suppress cholesterol
all by itself. So we're giving people willy-nilly drugs to suppress the cholesterol when your body is crying out for conversion to active vitamin A. So what a terrible situation.
Let's talk a little bit about Hashimoto's, because 90% of the diagnosed thyroid disease that we see is Hashimoto's. And Hashimoto's is unique in that it can come on in different times of life. It can come on. It's an autoimmune disease. It can turn itself on right after a a pregnancy due to the hormonal shifts? Do you, during pregnancy, you want the immune system suppressed to a degree so that your immune system doesn't attack the foreign body that you're carrying. So your immune system goes down, but then right after the pregnancy, it surges up again. Well, Hashimoto's disease then moves in to act again to suppress some of that autoimmune reaction. So you have this surge up and surge down and surge up and surge down. And what you find with Hashimoto's disease is if you catch it fast, if you move very quickly, what can happen is that you don't have to have damage to the thyroid. You can still have a healthy functioning thyroid, but you have to move quickly and treat it appropriately. And very often treating Hashimoto's disease can be nutrient, a high omega-3s to bring down inflammation. I also use curcumin to bring down inflammation, adequate magnesium and high magnesium to bring down inflammation, and adequate selenium and zinc to make sure the conversion is happening, and adequate vitamin D to allow the hormone to go into the cell and connect with the DNA so it can create a transcription or a replication, an appropriate replication. So Hashimoto's is very common. And if caught early, you can protect that thyroid gland and end up with a healthy thyroid.
Well, you missed one.
Oops. Oh, my goodness.
Iodine. Well, so when you say T4, what does that mean? It means you have an amino acid tyrosine, and there are four iodine molecules attached to it.
Uh-huh.
T3 has three iodine molecules attached to it. There's even a T1 and T2 that we rarely pay any attention to it. But if you take whole thyroid, desiccated whole thyroid, you get those additional T1, T2, T3, T4. But the most active is, of course, the T3. So sometimes there's a conversion problem. And this, one of the most commonly used tests is thyroid stimulating hormone, which is a pituitary hormone. And it goes up and stimulates your thyroid to make more thyroid. The thyroid gland itself mostly makes T4, and it's up to your body to convert it at other places, as Corinne just mentioned. So sometimes you get the TSH working just fine, and you get T4 being created, and everything looks hunky-dory on your tests that the doctor ordered, but in fact, your body cannot convert very well to the active T3, which you could find out if you actually tested that too. So I'm really a fan of big thyroid hormone panels instead of just the TSH, which is kind of the routine and really gives you very limited information. So you want to help that conversion. Dr. Ray Peet once wrote in one of his newsletters, I think, he said, if you made a list of the things that interfered with your thyroid hormone and thyroid conversion, it would be as long as your arm. The things that help you make that conversion are progesterone, pregnenolone, and coconut oil. Now, this is, you remember like the children's song, like what's the thing that doesn't belong? Like coconut oil, what's that doing in there? So we know coconut oil for short chain fatty acids, which are nice antifungals, But one day I did a deeper dive on coconut oil, and I found something amazing. Coconut oil is just full of molecules that are similar to cholesterol in structure. Therefore, they're similar to pregnenolone and progesterone. They're similar to the estrogens, testosterone. So the whole plant world has quite a lot of these steroids. We generally end up calling them adaptogens, but coconut oil is full of this, so I guess it belongs there after all. So progesterone, pregnenolone, and coconut oil help you make more active thyroid hormone. And through this earlier pathway, which I just talked about with the cholesterol rising, thyroid is needed to keep that cascade of hormones coming from cholesterol to pregnenolone. You can't make, if your cholesterol's high, you can't make the progesterone you need without the thyroid hormone. So as you're so fond of, Corinne, there's a circle there.
Exactly. I was just thinking of that.
And maybe it's a circle of life. We are
exactly.
Circles everywhere you look.
It's a minestrone soup of endocrine hormones, and they all work together to make the flavor and allow the body to respond appropriately. And the glands affect each other and make each other respond appropriately. If you're very highly stressed, it blocks the conversion of T4 to T3 in the liver. And so there you are, very, very highly stressed. And now you're suppressing your thyroid, which is creating more stress in your body because you're not balanced any longer, which can then have a very negative effect on your adrenals, which are responding to the stress, because rather than balancing the stress with the thyroid and with the adrenals, what is happening is the adrenals are carrying the whole load, and it's too much. And it just burns out the adrenals. So understand, we're looking at a balancing act that affects more than one organ and the ability to have a full functioning, appropriate thyroid, which balances all the other organs and all the other tissues. But guess what? We forgot something. We didn't forget it, but we didn't put it in yet. And this is a biggie.
What's that?
Wheat. Gluten.
Oh, yeah. Gluten.
Wheat has a mimicking effect and into the body, and it stimulates the body into autoimmune disease. So it blocks the ability of the zonulin in the intestine. Zonulin is the matrix between the cells in the intestine. So, and it's sort of the doorkeeper. It keeps the good stuff going in and keeps the bad stuff out of going into the bloodstream. Well, wheat blocks the ability of zonulin to work. So you get what they call, and we've spoken about it multiple times, a leaky gut. So the body then gets revved up and begins to make these complexes, these bound complexes, and that which go around. And the body then has to fight them, like autoimmune disease. So wheat can be a very direct stimulator of Hashimoto's disease or autoimmune thyroiditis. And sometimes, and we didn't even begin to talk about this yet, but we will shortly. Sometimes when you just stop eating wheat, you can reduce the autoimmune reactions, and that can be measured in your blood test through TPO, antithyroid peroxidase or antithyroid globulins. You can literally measure those going down when you stop wheat and stop pasteurized dairy. Both of those have a mimicking factor, and the body then begins to attack them. Carol?
Okay, then there's another thing that happens, and this is in Dennis Wilson's book on a low thyroid. And what happens is, in a stress, your body has the ability to downregulate your metabolism, and it forms an inactive T3 from your T4, and it's called reverse T3. It's actually like a right-hand, left-hand situation. Now, this is normal and necessary for us sometimes to cope with a stressful situation. It's responsible for hibernation in animals, that your metabolic rate goes way down. However, we're supposed to have this sort of imbalance that we can go in and out of that reverse T3 as we need it with no problem. But it appears that some people get stuck in the reverse T3. So now it's blocking receptors for active thyroid hormone, of which you're making less because some of it's going to the reverse. And now you have lowered body temperatures, you have fatigue, and it's because of this particular hormone. And I'd also like to say, we can measure that. So you can ask for that hormone to be measured if you suspect this is going on.
So your thyroid, this is an interesting point you brought up. I'm going to give out the number one more time, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Let me make this one statement, and then we have callers. I knew this is an important topic. So your thyroid could be functioning correctly, but your stress is so high and acting on your liver. So your liver is taking your thyroid hormone and making it reverse. So you could have a healthy thyroid, but the conversion factor is being blocked. Interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
So hi, you're live. Your name, please.
Jenny.
Hi.
Jenny. Hi.
Hi.
Can you speak close to the phone, please?
Yes, I'm close to the phone. Hi.
Hi.
Okie dokie.
I am there. The phone is in my mouth.
So turn your radio down.
An echo. Yeah, that's
what. Turn your radio down.
Oh, okay. All right, let me turn it down.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Perfect. How can we help you?
Oh, I think I have the thyroid problem because I have problem losing weight. All these things, my hair disappeared. Yeah, I'm wearing like a small little afro. And what you're talking about, not the eyebrow, what do you call the top one?
The eyebrow where you're missing the outer third of your eyebrow?
Uh-huh. Yes, I have that syndrome.
Yes.
Yep. But the doctor doesn't say anything about it.
So does your doctor check your thyroid hormones for you?
Yes, they say my thyroid is okay.
Well, see, this is the problem, and you just voiced it, and let me address it, is that most doctors take one test. It's called a TSH. That's a thyroid stimulating hormone. And that really isn't a test of the thyroid. It's a test of the pituitary telling the thyroid to act. Now, what you really need to do is add on to that test, because you need to know what your T4 is, that's the majority of your thyroid hormone, and you need to know what your T3 and free T3 is, because you need to know, one, that your thyroid is functioning and making adequate hormone, but then there's another step. There's a step of the thyroid, of the tissue the liver, the gut, the muscles, the brain, the heart, converting the T4, the more inactive hormone, into highly active hormone. So if you don't get an adequate test, and we also want to look at your inflammation. If you don't get an adequate test, we really don't know. It's like looking at the outside of a box and saying, the box is full. I got the box. It's perfect. But you're only looking at the outside. You're not looking at the inside. Yes, you don't really understand the function. And we also need antibodies to see if your body is reacting against your thyroid. So all of these are important tests to take, and we're going to make a list of those toward the end of the show, of what you want to look at and how you want it looked at. Because, yes, it's very possible. They're saying now, okay, these are statistics. This is a study of a group of elderly women, that 70%, up to 77%, have a hypothyroid condition. And that could be subclinical. So it's just low enough so you don't feel your best, or it can be an active hypothyroid. But you're never going to find that out without the correct type of blood tests to look at all those factors.
Okay, so I have a suggestion. I'm working on a blog just today, and probably will have it up at my website, thewellnessbydesignproject.com, and I'm going to have a list of low thyroid symptoms, because your whole body is involved with your thyroid hormone.
Exactly.
Needs and uses thyroid hormone. So the symptoms are pervasive. So when you see my blog, Take a look at this list, maybe print it out, and circle everything that belongs to you that you notice is happening in yourself, and take that list with you to your doctor's appointment and say, you know, I'm quite serious about this. I've been looking into low thyroid things. I've got all these symptoms. I want to be checked further on
my
thyroid stuff.
Carol, because I'm writing a blog right now on hypothyroid, and in my blog will be a list of all the labs that need to be taken to really examine the thyroid and understand how it's working and how effectively it's working. So between Carol's list and my list, you're going to have a very complete outline on what to show your doctor. And these will all be annotated, so there will be references.
Yeah, so Corinne, your website, quickly.
Corinne, Corinne Health, health.com. And that'll be up in probably 2 days, and Carol should be up. She's a lot faster than I am, maybe one day, but you can find those, and that should give you some direction.
Jenny, was there something else?
You were saying that the cholesterol, like my LDL cholesterol for the first time went to 133, and it says it's high, and he was telling me, make sure you lower this down.
No.
We'll see.
Oh,
Carol and I are both going to jump on that. You go first, Carol.
You're telling me what to do. You just say, lower it. So right now I'm just eating vegetables, broccoli and Brussels sprouts all day.
No, darling.
No, darling.
You need protein and you need a more varied diet. You are with just broccoli and Brussels sprouts. You're eating a planned malnutrition diet, and that is totally inappropriate. You don't need that to have healthy cholesterol.
And LDL, it's very suspicious, them calling it the bad cholesterol.
Because it's essential for the brain.
Yeah, and your immune system, you drive it down, you're going to have cancer and all kinds of immune system problems. So really not to be bothered with it. I was at a conference. It was Low Carb USA, and the speakers there were some of the fittest people I have ever seen at a medical conference, which says something. And they were very athletic, and they were reporting their LDLs were like 800, 900.
Whoa.
So something is seriously wrong with how we're demonizing LDL. We need to rethink this whole thing. So your total cholesterol is the thing to watch for thyroid. You want it to be actually total cholesterol. You want it to be 220 to 280.
So thank you so much for your call. We have someone else on the line. The number to call is 212-209-2877. Hi, you're live. Thank you for waiting.
Sure, no problem. It's Russ.
Hi, Russ.
Hi, CNC. I don't want
That's a good one.
Well, yeah, CNC, you know, Wrecking Crew, like the recording studio. I mean, you know, it's a good uh-huh. reference. I just don't want you to think I'm addressing either one of you first. And I understand this is a woman's health episode, but maybe for a
No,
future
no.
Well, men, future, too. Well, everything future, we're saying applies to both.
I know, but I'm kind of off topic because you introduced me to a few weeks ago to a certain cardiovascular measure of my masculine health, and I've been checking my personal dipstick, my Russell Sprout regularly, but I don't really know what I'm checking my dipstick for. So maybe in the future you could have a show about that. But vis-a-vis women's health, you know, you've talked about hormones and progesterone, and it's my impression that birth control pills are one of the most heavily prescribed medications to women, and they give it to women for pimples and all sorts of things, you know, and different kind of emotional things. But so I want to know if you've noticed that women during their childbearing years are now freezing their eggs or embryos, and since reproductive freedoms are being taken away and threatened, and sexual activity has gone down in most age groups, is my understanding, do you think women are rethinking their society's burden on them of reproductive health, and will just saying no to big pharma? Actually happening?
Well, first of all, that's way off topic. And we're really not prepared to answer that. There's one thing that I am prepared to answer is the fact that we know that birth control pills can interfere with thyroid function. So here we have young women at the peak of their sexuality, at the peak of their hormones, and then we put them on birth control pills, their thyroid goes down, and, well, maybe I have a headache tonight, I don't feel my best. So here they have all this freedom and no more desire, and we see that all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ross... very quickly, because we have now there's four people.
I just would like to know for another future show, the birth control pills are a horror show on women. And, you know, women's health has always been fascinating and foreboding to me. I'm just glad you're making up for the lack of info that men get. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for calling in. Hi, you're live.
Hello?
Hello. Your name, please?
Am I on the air?
Yes.
You certainly are.
Okay. Hi, Corinne.
Hi.
Michelle from Astoria. Corinne, I never hear anything mentioned about, which I think is a problem, iodine is part of the halogen group, which
yes.
includes bromine, fluorine, chlorine, and iodine.
Yes. Uh-huh.
For example,
Perfect.
In New York City, you've got commercial flour that's mostly bromated, you have chlorine in the water, and you have fluoridated toothpaste. I mean, don't you think that would be a problem for the iodine to be metabolized?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
70% of the iodine is directly in the thyroid gland, but when you have fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, they compete for the space.
Right.
So you, So what you're having is a blockage. You might have adequate iodine in your body, but it can't really get to the thyroid because the receptor sites are saturated with fluoride and chlorine and bromine. So that was a very good point. And
there's another little piece of this. Suppose you're having your T4 and your T3 tested. When you have that test, do we know that these molecules have the proper number of iodines on it?
Uh-huh.
Do we may not know. We might have on the T4, we might have 3 iodines and 1 chlorine.
Right.
Oh, yes.
We actually don't know this, and I think this is really an important point, and these are severe thyroid inhibitors. Thank you for bringing this up.
One last thing. I'm faced with a decision to either take iodorol or prolamin iodine. Which do you think is better?
The prolamine would be standard process, right?
Yes.
Yes. So the iodorol is much stronger.
Right.
So you have to make a decision in what camp you are. Generous iodine, a la David Brownstein, for instance. And if you're in the camp where you want a lower level of iodine, still should be effective. So there's several books written now about iodine and how important it is. So that's going to be a personal decision for you, but I urge you to do some more research on it.
And I urge you to take the nutrients that you need to allow the thyroid to work and work correctly, the selenium, the zinc, the B12, the magnesium, the essential fatty acids, as well as the iodine. And you've got a full and complete.
I tend to stay away from the B12 because it turns my urine yellow, bright yellow.
It's okay.
Doesn't matter. It's not a problem.
Okay.
And if it turns it yellow, then you're not taking straight B12. B12 doesn't turn yellow.
Yeah.
Riboflavin does. So you have a B vitamin mix, which is okay. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm taking part of a complete vitamin complex.
So that's not B12 per se.
Okay.
But that's a B complex.
So I can take B12 isolated?
No, you're fine. It's not a problem. And make sure you're getting adequate proteins. And thank you very much for your call. We're going to go on to the next caller. Hi, you're live. Your name, please.
Hi, is that me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, great. Hi.
It's terrific. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for all you guys both do. It's wonderful. My husband has been, he's not here, so I can't get him on the phone, but he's been struggling with thyroid problems, but it moves from both the hyper to the lower.
That's Hashimoto's.
No, I know.
That's autoimmune. Very often. Go on.
Well, okay, that's the question, because it's so, the first doctor's like, oh, we should take it out, you know, the extremists. And so he's been trying to just manage it and working with a good MD with that, who's more, you know, on the side of using nutrition. But I just wanted to hear if you had any thoughts with the concept, because he hasn't been able to manage it to his satisfaction, so he's frustrated. So I'm not sure. I mean, I've been scribbling notes.
I don't know what you mean by manage it. And that's not because is it that he's symptomatic or is this a lab reading? I just don't know what we're
reading.
Dealing with, a lab reading or symptoms that are not in control.
No, it's more the lab reading. I mean, he gets tremors at times, but that would be the only symptom, I would say.
I would get, first of all, you might need to lower it slightly, but I would make sure I have adequate magnesium and potassium, and I would make sure I have adequate essential omega-3s. I love the fact of sardines and mackerel, little cans in olive oil of sardines, mackerel from Portugal or Italy. Absolutely delicious, high in selenium also. You get bone in, but also, and you're getting the omega-3s naturally. You're getting some olive oil. You're getting lots of selenium. Very nice adjunct.
Yeah, they're delicious. Yeah, we do eat them.
Yeah, there's, I looked up this website just today also for another woman who's being told she's hyperthyroid, and I'm not quite sure from what she's presenting with if it's true or not. She's still running some tests. But there's a website, iThyroid.com. iThyroid. And it's presenting some help with the hyperthyroid situation. And there can be heavy metals involved in this. So the person who set this up hasn't contributed in years, but the information there is very, very good.
So, yeah, so we've got someone else waiting, but we also have to, we're getting close to the end. So I appreciate your call. I think this is such an important topic. I think we're going to readdress this very rapidly, maybe even next week, explaining what testing to take and how to do it and why it's so important. What do you think, Carol?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah, because we're going to be closing out with other callers on the line. And thank you so much for your call, but I'm going to ask a favor of you. I'm going to ask you to go on the internet and go WBAI, give to WBAI.org, and we need buddies. We know you're out there. We know you hear us. We have people that call in regularly. We need buddies. I'd love you to go to give to WBAI.org and go into buddies. It'll take you minutes, and you can give a certain amount every month that doesn't really interfere with your life or your lifestyle. I always say, give the amount of money that you would spend 1 week in the city getting coffee, and just bring your own coffee. The coffee these days is $5, $7. You do it 5 days a week. That's $25, $30 a month. But if you can afford more, we'd love your help. This is an amazing station. Bertol, we had a meeting the other night, and Bertol said something really profound, and it kind of put me back and made me even prouder of BAI than I am. And he said, you know, I'm listening to other radio stations, and they all have the same thing on. They talk about one issue, and then the next person comes on, and they talk about that issue, and then the next person comes on, and they talk about that issue, and then the next day they talk about that issue. Whereas WBAI all have individual producers, every one of us doing research, doing preparation. Every single show is unique, and that's really something to be proud of, and I'm very proud of it. So we're going to ask you to become our buddy. This is a big ask, and do what you can. If it's $25 a month, we would appreciate it. If it's $50 a month, we would appreciate it. If it's $100 a month, whatever you can do that would support BAI and allow us to continue this amazing programming. And
we have one more caller.
Okay, this is a quick one. Hi. Hi. Hello? Well,
I guess they left.
Okay.
I guess they left. I didn't think we were going to get to everyone, but we're going to be able to get to everyone next week. But we want, thank you, Reggie. We're going to really ask you again. We're going to ask you to call in 212-209-2950 and donate to WBAI. Support your program. This is a contract that we have entered into. We give and you support us. And you support us and you're our sponsor. You tell us what you want to hear by your support. So the number to call 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org. And I'm going to want to thank you. I'm going to let you know my website is Corinne Health, Corinne Health.com. And on there will be articles on hypothyroid, multiple articles, multiple information. And you can it's all free and easily accessible. And Carol?
Mine is thewellnessbydesignproject.com. And hopefully within a few hours, I'll have my deficiency symptoms up.
And
my goal.
And we're going to be back next week. We want to thank you so much for joining us. And we love when you participate. And I'm going to ask again, go on your internet and type in give the number 2 WBAI.org and become a buddy. You will get a tote bag with WBAI logo on it. When you're walking down the street with it, it'll surprise you how many people will give you a thumbs up or a big smile, because we're a community and we've been a community for over 60 years. So 64 to be exact, I've been corrected on that one. 64. That's pretty amazing.
Wow.
And Take Charge of Your Health has been on the radio for 23 years.
Wow, again.
Wow. Wowie, wowie. So next week we're going to be doing a deeper dive into thyroid. And thank you so much. Thank you, Reggie, for your help.
WPFW and